Welcome everyone to today's ILTA podcast interview entitled Risk Management, Data Analytics and Intelligence AI Adoption. I'm your moderator today, Elizabeth Sear, Director of Legal Risk Systems and Strategy at Jenner & Block. I'm thrilled to be joined today by Aaron Rangel, Director of Product Management at iManage, and Bennett Borden, Partner and Chief Data Scientist at DLA Piper. Welcome, Aaron and Bennett. Thanks so much for joining today. Do you like to take a minute to introduce yourselves?
Sure. Thanks for having us. I came to the law kind of in a bizarre path. I actually started my career as a data scientist working in the U.S. intelligence community and did that for several years in the early 90s when we were trying to figure out what you could learn about people and organizations by the digital trail they left behind. But having always wanted to go to law school, I went to Georgetown as kind of a bit of a second career and got another advanced degree in data analytics. And really what my focus has been is how do you get insight out of massive quantities of disparate data for whatever legal or business objective. In the last 7 or 8 years, my entire focus has been on algorithms, automated decision-making systems, and AI. And so it is a very active time to be an AI lawyer, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Great, thank you so much. And Aaron?
Thanks, Elizabeth. I'm Aaron Rangel, Director of Product Management at iManage. I have about 20 years of experience now working in document management, cybersecurity, and I would call it data science and predictive analytics. Very passionate about launching award-winning products to the marketplace and happy to be here and provide my input into this conversation.
Excellent. Thank you so very much. So obviously today we're going to be discussing artificial intelligence and the biggest challenges that our organizations face today, especially with that onslaught of information, press around it, people's experiences, the interest levels. So in adopting these AI technologies, and in particular, we're going to be focusing on, you know, how is it related to security and compliance? So let's get started. And we'll start, of course, at the beginning. So where, and Aaron, I'll start with you for this one. Where do AI capabilities exist currently in the risk space? Would that be, you know, reporting, terms of engagement, conflicts, et cetera?
Sure, Elizabeth. It's used across the board. And I'll probably start with security and then get more into what you'd call the traditional risk and compliance stack. Use of AI in security is probably the most mature. I think organizations across the board have been using AI in the cybersecurity or threat intelligence space to detect anomalous behavior. A simple example is these software solutions today look at all signals of user behavior, the login time, the applications they access, what a user does with the application. They do this anonymously and fingerprint every user and then raise an alert. A simple example is you've got an event, let's say, where Bob logs in from Chicago and downloads a certain number of documents. And within 2 hours, the same user, Bob, has logged in from London. Now, you know, Bob can't travel from Chicago to London in 2 hours. And this is a signature pattern of what you'd call a phishing attack or a stolen credentials attack, where someone has managed to steal Bob's credentials. So several examples where AI has been successfully used now with cybersecurity, raising alerts when, let's say, Ram or Ramesh typically will work across two or three matters and download 2 documents, but today he's worked across 10 matters and downloaded 100 documents. That's an alert because we fingerprinted Ramesh and we know he's doing something out of the ordinary. Now how AI has progressed is the same AI now over the years has been applied to understanding documents, understanding the context of documents, the makeup of documents, understanding clauses within documents. Now, once AI can do that, AI can give you much more intelligent prompts when you're working on your documents. Are you using the most update clause? Are you creating a document and you inadvertently left out an important clause? AI helps in typical contract management apps, which are used in the other risk and compliance solutions that deal with drafting documents, that deal with analyzing documents like conflicts and new business intake. One more use of AI is in the detection of PII and PHI. So AI can tell you that a document, let's say, contains this highly privileged information, and this information is not appropriately locked down. So we've seen that in the cybersecurity space. I will leave with one more thing. Earlier this year, we've seen LLMs and how you can interrogate documents, and not only interrogate documents, you can generate documents as well. And this is really exciting when it comes to conflicts and new business intake. Essentially, you're looking for a conflict. There is a conflict when you're taking on business with, let's say, firm X, and the conflict arises from several other customers that you're working with that are adverse. You need to review these outside counsel guidelines, which can be pretty lengthy documents. You need to find clauses, generate waivers, generate terms of agreement. And clearly, these large language modules, ChatGPT-like technologies will play a key role here in making that process more efficient. But I would say on the risk and compliance side, what I spoke about right now is less mature.
Okay, thanks so much, Aaron. And Bennett, do you have any other ideas to share there?
Yeah, you know, the advent of AI, especially the advances lately in generative AI, give us an insight into human behavior in a way that we've never been able to do before. If you think about almost every role at every company, we go about making decisions, attending meetings, and capturing thoughts and decisions in some kind of electronic media. And so we have the richest sociological record since we've been a species. And it's really quite interesting what you can learn about how you go about doing whatever you do as a company. And so with AI, and especially generative AI, our ability to find insight and patterns in that data is truly unprecedented for good or ill. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of great advancements, but also a lot of new risks that we're introducing into what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And so anything that requires us to figure out what happened and why, and even predict what's going to happen, is getting better and more accurate now with AI. So just about any process you have, as Aaron was saying, you know, finding patterns and therefore finding anomalies in patterns is one of the highest uses of AI. And so that plays in all kinds of compliance and security, and even what we call predictive compliance. It turns out that you can identify situations that are likely to result in something going wrong, mm-hmm. and interceding before that thing happens. You know, it's quite easy to catch some bad behavior once it's happened, right? Because you've got some evidence of it somewhere. Where we're starting to get is, I can predict those situations where something bad might occur. And that raises a whole new kind of minority report kind of questions, right? Like, what is the appropriate way to intervene in a situation before something goes wrong? And protect the privacy and even legal and ethical rights and duties that people have. So we're finding it in not only in the work that we're doing at the firm, bringing AI into the firm, which is one of my jobs, mm-hmm. but also with clients. How do you, what signals are most important to the company to try to find, and how do I find those, whether on the compliance side or the business side?
Yeah, that's a really interesting concept I know a lot of firms struggle with, is moving into that proactive, right, as opposed to the reactive methodology or mentality. So it's a very good point. Thanks so much, Bennett. Okay, so let's talk about, you know, the data that's captured at the client matter inception process. As we all know, that's used throughout an organization. Would you tell me in your experience what key factors join teams together in use of that data, and how organizations can maintain the consistency especially when you have that AI, quote, running in the background of sorts. Aaron, would you like to kick off that
response? Elizabeth, you know, keeping data in sync is clearly very, very important, and is a cumbersome process. It takes up a ton of resources, and we're all looking for ways AI can contribute towards managing some of the chaos out there. You know, one way to think about it is organizations should be able to classify their data and make sure there is a, let's call it, a system of record application for each of the key data types. So to put this in practice, I would say for time and billing data, it's maybe your financial system or your warehouse, and that time and billing information, let's say, flows into a DMS. If you take your documents or your matter documents, that would be your DMS, and those documents flow from the DMS to a file collaboration solution, to a deal management solution, and so on. Now, how AI will be used really depends on the underlying data. I would say fuzzy detection, duplication detection algorithms today work much better as it relates to detecting that someone's creating a matter or client with a very similar name to an existing client or matter, and maybe they need to be coalesced or brought together. Now, doing it on a per application basis is easier than doing it across the stack. And I think the duplicate detection problem is much more pronounced when you think of the entire flow across multiple applications, which many a case are from different vendors. Now, at the same time, as more and more organizations move to the cloud, we're seeing a coalesce of applications on the cloud, where a single cloud provider will provide multiple solutions on a cloud platform. And certainly when you have multiple applications integrated on a cloud, you have less of a duplicate detection problem. But it really depends on the problem. I would say if you're keeping documents in sync across multiple systems, multiple applications, I don't really see that as an AI problem. It's more documents are uniquely identified by number, you have the edit date. I think the challenge there with duplicate detection, especially with documents, is when there are multiple edits and how do you synchronize the fact that two people may have edited the same clause. But it is an interesting problem. AI will help, and we're already seeing progress that I talked about.
Great, thanks. Bennett, do you have any other thoughts to share on that topic?
Yeah, you know, lawyers especially are dealers in information. Right? Mm-hmm. Like fundamentally, no matter what your practice group is, you gather information, you analyze it, you enrich it with your legal acumen, and then you deliver it in whatever form, whether a brief, an argument, a whatever, right? A transactional document. And AI can help with each of those primary phases of what we do. Because we are dealers in information, data is the fuel. Between the data and the legal acumen, those are the things that we really that define kind of what we do. So the more that we can do to make data current and accessible and that they can talk to each other, the better and more efficient and more accurate we're going to be as legal practitioners. So what we're really investing in at the firm and helping a lot of clients do the same thing is make their data accessible in a format that you can access and it can talk to each other and figure out what insights that I can get out of that data. We are very close to kind of the holy grail of records and information and knowledge management around kind of automated classification. We've struggled for so long with trying to figure out what's in a particular document. What is it? How does it fit into our records of security and confidentiality, much less our business? But with especially generative AI, that world is changing. And so there is simply more information accessible to us, and which means that we can have a much more collaborative culture. We can understand how we train and educate our lawyers a little differently. Data governance, information governance, all those things are becoming much, much easier. And if you have good, fresh, accessible information, every process in your organization will be better optimized.
Yeah, agreed. When you have an organization that has inconsistent data, right? There are some organizations out there that are struggling with getting, you know, even down to the same industry codes or practice areas or practice groups. When that can, I mean, it might need to start there and then elevating that to deliver that data that's accessible to multiple areas of the organization is critical, not from only, like you said, the legal perspective, but also the business perspective, right? And what about control? So, you know, and Bennett, I might just come back to you on this one around how to control that, right? So now we're talking about making it accessible and consolidating or making the data consistent and in one place. How do we control that then? And the learning that the AI is doing all across the board. So how is that possible for firms?
One of the things that we always talk about is that organizations should create data on purpose, as opposed to just a side effect of them of doing their work. The information age kind of came upon us in piecemeal. We got computers, and then we got cloud services, and so we go about doing our work, and we create information kind of in side shoots, and so we aren't very good at organizing it, keeping it for as long as it's useful, and then getting rid of it when it's no longer useful. And so part of understanding how to accomplish what you want as a company is accomplishing the information you create and purposely creating that information. But then it's important to realize who needs access to what, right? Everybody doesn't need access to everything and probably shouldn't, right? For all kinds of reasons. Being able to put in controls around privacy and security so that you know who's accessing what. But then what it really building and learning off of the data and information that you've created before. So especially we as lawyers, right? If depending on your practice group, you very often face the same kind of questions or the same kind of problems over and over again. You've considered them, you've created content and valuable analysis. And because we bill by the hour, we tend to recreate that over and over and over again. Well, that world's kind of coming to an end, I think, where we should be creating the perfect product and that is then customized for a particular context. Because the value that I bring to a product is not necessarily equivalent to the time I spend on it anymore. So it causes this entire kind of rethinking around how do I create my products and services and do that in a purposeful way?
I like that concept of intent. That's purpose. That's great. Thank you. Aaron, I want to, you know, ask you a question around trust, right? That's so hard sometimes for organizations to get around, you know, how do they trust the AI once it is implemented and running? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely, Elizabeth. And I think the trust can be broken down into many constituent parts. You trust AI if your privacy is respected. You trust AI if your confidentiality is respected. You don't want your intellectual property becoming part of a public model that everyone can benefit from. You trust AI when your answers are accurate or have a high degree of accuracy, or you have visibility, more importantly, into how AI came up with that response. What sources did it use? You have visibility into, if you have visibility into those sources, you know if it's credible. You've got examples with large language models when they work perfectly, they work very, very well, and sometimes when they hallucinate. And, you know, hallucination certainly introduces great risk, but in certain examples, hallucination is incredibly valuable because it exposes you to insight that just contributes to the creative process, perhaps when coming up with trial strategies. So I think I've touched upon some of the topics related to trust. Elizabeth, I could go on, but
yes. No, that's fine. And Bennett, I know you have mentioned in the past around, you know, that track record of sorts, or, you know, that apprehensiveness around, you know, that trust aspect. Can you speak a little bit more about that?
Yes. And, you know, look, anytime there's kind of a new technology, there's always a trust factor, whether it's electricity or cars or Stevens or, you know, the same conversations. Remember when Boolean search was first coming out and everyone's like, well, how do I know that it's finding the words? Well, because people understood the technology and that it's literally impossible for it not to in the right circumstances. And it's the same here, right? There are different kinds of AI systems and they each have strengths and weaknesses. So it's important to understand what they do. And when you're building out a use case, to understand the risks that come into play by whatever particular tool you use. And then you put controls around those risks. Like LLMs and generative AI generally has an incredible ability to find insight and patterns out of data, but it's completely contingent upon what's been fed into its brain. And because it's been fed a lot of stuff, some of which is helpful and some of which is not, sometimes it spits out unhelpful stuff. Well, when it's important that what comes out is trustworthy and accurate, then put controls in place. It's kind of like, you know, when you get a memo from a first or second year associate, you just don't hand it to the client. You've got a process to make sure that it's accurate and the sites are right with it, right? Mm-hmm. So it's really just the same. And people will trust it as it works. Mm-hmm. And so the more you use it, communicate about it, and listen to your user experience, that's how you build trust in these systems, because they are completely transformative about how we practice law.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. I mean, I know that that feeds into some of the fears or blocks that organizations have is not having that trust factor right at the front, you know, that job displacement piece or the, you know, return on investment, how long does it take and how much does it cost? But aside from that, let's talk about our clients. So, you know, you mentioned just now about turning things over to clients and how there's a process in place before that. So what if we do, what if an organization has clients that oppose the use of AI technology at the firm with their data? How, what are some ways that organizations can, you know, work with those clients still?
So I find that most clients are very amenable to new and efficient ways of doing what we do. And so we seek collaboration with our clients with and transparency about what we're doing with data and their data. Are we using their data, right? So that matters a lot, especially for lawyers. There's even ethical issues around, can the firm get value for itself out of a client's data? Well, those things are all discussable. And there's, you should have ways of opting out, right? So clients who don't want to be involved. But we found that most clients really, when you talk about a new idea and how we're using data that will benefit how we provide them legal services, they're really quite open to it. You have to be able to address things like privacy and security, accuracy especially, because typically what we're doing with a client's data is making inferences off of it for the greater industry or for particular patterns or benchmarking across industries. And that's really, really powerful. But there's questions about, does it work? Is it accurate? What are you, you know, where is this going with that? So we find, you know, one of our kind of themes in our innovation group is build it together. And so when we start working, when we have an idea for a use case for data, we go to our clients who are interested and talk with them about it and design it together and give them some benefit from it. And we usually find that people, that clients are quite eager, but there are some that simply aren't. Like there's some who work in the defense industry or others where their data is just right. There's different requirements around it. So it's all about communication and collaboration and having options for them to be included or not.
Yep. Wow. Very powerful stuff. Thank you so much. So I know that we're wrapping up on time here. So I want to ask a final question to both of you. And Aaron, we can start with you. As we leave our listeners with some tips or tricks, you know, what are the specific steps that an organization can take to ensure that they have a successful adoption of AI technologies when they're ready to begin implementing and using?
That's a great question, Elizabeth. And I think I'd encourage organizations embarking on this journey to really get educated in terms of how these models work. There's some models that are more simplistic. They've been in use for many, many years. There's a much broader understanding in terms of how they leverage data. They're not like a black box. While others are like a black box, and let's say the risk profile of some of the large language modules are greater as compared to more established AI techniques like clustering and extracting clauses. So being aware of what you're dealing with, what training data sets are in use, stuff like that is important to understand, Elizabeth. I'll turn it over to Bennett now.
Thanks, Aaron. You know, the thing about AI is that it does some things really, really well. Identifying, collecting, analyzing data, and even predicting what the answer always has been based on that data. There are things that humans do, especially the essence of human lawyering, inference, judgment, compassion, persuasion, negotiation. These are things that only humans can do. And so what we talk about is understand what it is, the different workflows about how you go about doing what you do, and figure out what the essential steps in there are. And some of those steps can be augmented or optimized by AI, and some are quintessentially human. So it is really understanding your process, figuring out how AI can help that process, and then clearly defining what you're trying to accomplish. It's kind of like when electricity first started being commercially available. It's not like companies just installed a bunch of plugs and said, hey, go, there it is, there's your electricity. In the same way, just making AI somehow available to everybody doesn't necessarily get you where you want to go. It's very specific use cases where you've got, make sure you've got the data that you need. You run these pilot projects to learn from them and then regularly evaluate how those things are going. It is... penetrate and radiate is kind of the idea with AI, which we found to be most successful.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, both of you today, so much for your time and experience that you've shared with us. I really hearken back to, keeping it, to the human behaviors, right? That AI is really around human behaviors. And I really appreciate all of your time and efforts that you shared today. This wraps it up. Thank you all for joining and listening. And I hope you all have a fabulous day.